Hi, I'm Kieran O'Donnell. Welcome to Business Matters. In this week's podcast, I talk to Letterkenny's and Post Delivery Services Manager, Paul Herty, about the huge increase in business since March. I also speak to Finn Harp's Commercial Manager, Aidan Campbell, about calls from Donegal Sinn Féin TD, Pearse Doherty, to release funding for the new Finn Harp Stadium, which has been in the pipeline since 2007. 2020 has been the busiest every year for AnPost Parcel Delivery Service, with the volume of business up by around 230%. Paul Herty is Delivery Services Manager with AnPost in Letterkenny. Paul says the last few weeks have been a build-up to Christmas like no other for himself and his 80-plus staff at their depot at Caernamogha in Letterkenny.
Yeah, well, I suppose Christmas traditionally starts in December, but this year, last December it finished. January, I started putting out all the election literature, finished that first week in February, had a couple of weeks off, and then this dreaded COVID hit, and we've been working in a different way since, and very, very busy with parcels. So,
I would be fairly friendly with a few of your work colleagues here, and I post, and the line that was thrown back at me was, every day was like Christmas at the start of the pandemic.
Yeah, it was like last Christmas, and this Christmas is like no other Christmas. It's just doubled and trebled the volumes of parcels. Unbelievable. And in fairness to the lads, they're all working very well through it, and I'm sure at this stage they're just dreading going to work in the morning, but they still keep coming in. You know, they're a good bunch of lads down there. So
it is more or less 24/7 at the minute, Paul, and we're into the last couple of weeks of the year. When is the final day for delivery before Christmas, the 25th?
We work up to Christmas Eve, the 24th, so hopefully we'll get read up a wee bit early and boys get away for a bit of a Christmas Eve with their families and just chill out.
Looking back on the whole pandemic, Paul, is it in retrospect now that you look back and you realise how busy you were, or did you realise from early on that things had just got unbelievably busy very quick?
Well, from Paddy's Day on and the first lockdown, our parcel volumes with the e-commerce and online shopping just shot through the roof, and it was nearly overnight. Volumes doubled at that stage, and we're going like that since, you know.
And parcels were on the up anyway in relation to business and how busy you were.
Parcels have been up the last 2 years. The traditional mail had been in decline for the last decade or more. The parcel mail itself, with I suppose even local retail shops, they've caught on to the online shopping. They know they have to compete with the bigger stores online, and they've been at it before the pandemic, so we have been busy, and again our sales teams are out chasing that work along with every other courier out there. So
was there a change in the trend of the letters sending dropping a bit at the start of the pandemic, or are there more letters being sent this year in carriage, Paul?
Well, back to the start of the pandemic, definitely with the movement of working at home, all the business mail really declined massively. Since they started going back to work again, our volumes came back to last year's volumes again. So we're still carrying on with that. Christmas volumes, as in the traditional Christmas cards, I see it on a par with last year's, no bigger at this stage. Now, we still have a number of days to go, but going on my figures that I keep locally, it's on a par with last year. So
obviously new guidelines have been introduced in workplaces and post and your delivery service here is no different. How have they impacted on your operations here, Paul?
Well, I suppose we have to social distance from our customers, and the traditional way we would have went out and completed our deliveries would have been, you would have got your customer to sign on their phone scanner, and whereas now we go to the door and we say, a parcel for you, do you mind if I sign your name for it? And at that stage they have the option of refusing the parcel or we sign for it. So we don't hand anything over, we're handing the parcel over, and that's it. And most of the time we're supposed to be leaving it at their doorstep for them, and I think that's the way it's happening anyway. Now, we don't leave it at the door and walk away without an answer. That's not part of our strategy at all. We have to make sure it's given to the customer.
How many staff have you here at the minute, and have you taken on more staff since the pandemic?
Yeah, well, in the issue itself, I have 60 to 70 staff. a number of our staff are off because of they're vulnerable to the COVID, and if they get it, it'd be dangerous. So we have some of them off. We have others off on general sick leave. So we always run with a few casual staff as well. So the casual staff at the moment, because of Christmas and COVID and everything else, we have 10 extra. So we're running with about roughly 80 here, and then in the sub offices that I look after, Fulcara, Derrybeg, and Ardmore Island, there's another 11. So it's quite a lot of work.
How many sorting offices are there in the county altogether, Paul?
Delivery service units is 3. Lifford has 1. They would have maybe 30 staff, and then Greater Annishone area, there's 4 sub offices, and I think there's 27 there. And they're under the management of the Lifford manager. Donegal Town, I think it is up on 30-something staff, and they have a sub-office in Dunloe, Ballyshannon, Bundoran, and I think his total is about 62.
And so, I'm sure they're experiencing the same upward trends.
It's just the same everywhere nationally.
Yeah. We were talking before we started recording, Paul, about the likes of Black Friday and Cyber Monday. Those deals and offers, they just make a very busy place even busier.
It has. It definitely, the Cyber Monday and the Friday prior to that it's been a great selling point for the online shopping, and we reap the benefit of it, though a lot of people are thinking the benefit's not worth it at the moment because they're exhausted, but listen, going forward, it is going to be worth it, yeah.
So. Gearing up for the last few days, as we come into the end of 2020, have you learned any lesson or a few lessons from COVID?
Well, I suppose the COVID has taught us to be more aware of each other, be more aware of hygiene, stuff like that. Like, there's very little flus going around, general ailments. Usually this time of year you'll have people off sick with something, and it's not happening this year at all. So from a health point of view, I think that's one thing the general public have learned. You know, so.
And post workers would have been regarded as kind of an essential service, Paul, and would you concur that people would regard and would maybe have more appreciation of and post on their staff?
Well, I think from the COVID and the lockdown and post senior management put an awful lot of suggestions forward to the staff. Well, it actually came from the staff through managers and in conjunction with the Communication Workers Union. They brought a lot of good policies and like calling with the elderly and the vulnerable, offering to bring them their shopping, medicines. If we couldn't help, there was another group of charities put together a loan, and we provided that telephone number to them. We also offered pre-letters to the old and the vulnerable to be able to communicate with family.
When was the decision made, Paul, to relocate here to the new purpose-built office here now in Cairnamugga?
Well, I would say we moved here in 2011. I think the site was purchased in 2008, possibly. But I know my predecessor, Ed Margie, was always predominant and looking for a bigger office. Like, Ed was quite a good manager. He was able to foresee the future in many ways and could see the need to consolidate smaller offices in the future. And he was always pushing for Letterkenny in particular to get a purpose-built office. So I would say a lot of this is down to Mr. Murray.
Right. And has the move obviously proved successful, Paul?
The move has been fantastic. There was not a person would move back to our old ways of working. When we moved here, we moved to more efficient sorting plans, sorting benches, and it's less time-consuming. We had a number of sub-office staff that reluctantly moved in from different sub-offices, Kilmacrenan, Churchill, Remelton. After that, a few years later, they came in from Fannett and from Priestley and stuff like that. Now, that those staff would not go back to the old ways of working. While they loved it and they loved working with their local postmasters, it is more efficient in here, and it's purpose-built. It's comfortable, it's warm. You know, it's all the good things, and have good canteens, good facilities, and so I don't think there's anybody who would be moving back.
I know when yourself and your staff, Paul, aren't busy with parcels and deliveries, you try to combine your passion with cycling, with raising money for local charities. Can you talk to me about that and how that came about?
That came about, myself and another lad was heading to Sligo for a training course. I think it was a fire management course at the time. And this lad had the passion for cycling. I couldn't walk out of my own way at the time, and possibly can't anymore, but we got back talking about it, and he sort of encouraged me to get into cycling. We did a little bit, and then three or four of us started going out cycling together, and we thought, let's do something for charity. And we had a few people that had parents had passed away with the dreaded cancer, and we thought it'd be good to honour their memory for that staff member. And we did that for a year, and then unfortunately a year or two later we lost a very good colleague in Ty Culbert. We decided to honour him then after that, so we did it for a number of years after that for Ty. So.
And as a nice thing to give back, Paul, and with a workforce and doing for something for the local community, it makes that a wee bit extra special, doesn't it?
Yeah, it was good. It was nice to be able to go and present our checks to the local hospice, and as I say, known staff that have availed of it and families that have availed of it. It was very nice to be able to give back. Like, nobody knows in the future when their family's going to be touched with that dreaded disease, you know. So,
have you any plans to do anything next year if things get back to normal, Paul?
Well, I should be planning something all right for myself, for my own health, but at the moment, we sort of put a pause on it a couple of years ago. We felt the same people were getting burnt out on it, and you need to give it a wee rest, I think, just to maybe reinvigorate again in the coming years.
So, in relation to your own career with Anpost, how long are you with Anpost?
I'm here since September 87, so 33 years past here. I come in for a fortnight in the summer, and after that fortnight, I went to the manager, said, have you any work next week? He said, yes, come back next week. This went on for a number of weeks, and then eventually said, listen, young Herity, don't come to me, I'll come to me, you, if I don't have anything. So I never went back near him. I'm still here, obviously. So I started in and was on the post for 10 years. I got promoted then to a postal sorter, which was indoor all the time and a lot of night duty. And 13 years ago, I got promoted to manager, so I'm here since. And a few more to go before I get the pension and get out.
Are you enjoying the job?
Most of the time, yeah. It's a good place to work. And, you know, there's a good group of fellas in here, which makes it an awful lot easier. I have a good union in here. Now, that's it might be a strange thing for a manager to say, but to run a good operation, it has to be a two-way thing, and that's the company and the union working together to make it better for everybody, both staff and customers alike. And in fairness to the union, they're very good and very sensible, you know.
You mentioned the old sorting office, and you're here 9 years now. I'm sure if the walls could talk back in Main Street, they'd give us up some stories. I'm sure you worked with some great characters and great people down the years, Paul, on both locations.
Yeah, some very fond memories of different people that have passed, people that have been very good to me, and people that have retired a number of years back. And I spoke about Ed Margie, he'd be very good to me over the years. The guy started acting as a manager, and I think it was 02, sorry. So I learned quite a lot from Ed. He was very generous in his information, and he was always willing to help. So a lot of thanks to Ed there. You know.
You looking forward to Christmas, Paul, and getting and spending time at home and getting away from the office for a wee while, I'm sure?
Yeah, well, I enjoy the Christmas break, all right. This year is slightly different because of the COVID and restrictions. Unfortunately, my kids don't travel home this year. But, listen, we'll make the best of it. We're not the only family in the same position, you know, but it's good to get the break. Like, it's well worth it.
And finally, Paul, what does 2021 hold for Anpost and a staff here in Letterkenny?
Well, I can't say the e-commerce side dwindling too much. I would say, like, we're up 230%. If we lost 50% of that, we'd still be quite busy. I do expect it to drop back again in the new year. Hopefully it'll help local retailers, but I'm aware as I said earlier, the local retailers all have their online presence now. So that's going to keep ourselves and other couriers busy right through 2021. So I don't see a real decline too much.
And Post has plans to go greener as well, Paul, in 2021.
Yeah, and Post as a company has given a commitment to reduce their carbon footprint. And already within the company, there's 15% of our vehicles are electric vehicles. And just this week, there's contractors on site putting in electric charging points. So there's 29%, or I would say maybe 45% of our vehicles are going electric vehicles starting probably end of January, February. So
that's a big change.
Big change, and it'll be a learning curve for everybody, as in how to drive them, that you're not going to be stuck out in the middle of nowhere with no charge. So it is a learning curve. There is a way of driving electric vehicles. I suppose it's like any regular vehicle, if you put the foot down, you're going to run out of it just fairly quick. And I think the electrics are the same. So
there are still plenty of postmen and postwomen on bikes as well, Paul, which is good to see.
Yeah, well, we only have four or five duties now that are cycle posts, and the plans are to eliminate them as well. Now, eliminate them as in the traditional bike. The plan going forward is there's an electric trike, which will have a cabin on the back of it that'll bring their packets and parcels everywhere. So there is changes afoot, and they're planned for early next year, but they're still negotiating about that at the moment. So
it's 12 years since groundworks began at the site of Finn Harps' new €12 million stadium in Stranorder. Last week in the Dáil, Sinn Féin Donegal Dáil deputy Piers Doherty asked for government to commit to the project which will be known as Donegal Stadium. Joining me to discuss the latest development in the stadium saga is Finn Harps commercial manager Aidan Campbell. Aidan, thanks for joining us on Business Matters.
Thank you, Kieran Hare, thanks.
Aidan, it's 13 years since planning permission was granted for this new and obviously much needed facility. How hopeful are you that Deputy Doherty's call will be acted upon by those in charge of the purse strings this time around?
Well, we have to be hopeful, Kieran, because without going back over the whole thing, because I think your listeners would have heard it over the years, you know, the various ins and outs over the last, 12, 13 years. So the stadium central to everything we do, you know, the importance of it is really we're talking about the survival of Finn Harps Football Club, because you need a license to drive a car, you need a license to operate a football club, and that license is dependent on your facilities coming up to certain specifications, which we all know Finn Park doesn't. So the stadium central to everything we do, and we welcome the call from Piers Doherty, and we have been in ongoing discussions with the department recently and over the last whatever years. So the news at the moment is that we are in touch with the department, and we've been told by email by Jack Chambers, the minister responsible for sports, that in the new year he will be dealing with the matter. And so yes, we're very hopeful that there'll be something coming through.
Like every football club, there's business on the field and business off the field, and while they both combine to keep the show on the road, they're both very different, aren't they, Aidan?
They are, and one complements the other, I suppose, Kim, because the fans obviously want good players, and they want to come along and watch a good match, and particularly when you're in the Premier Division, where the standard just really goes up, because you're playing against professional teams who are training during the day. And in the last 5-6 years, I would say the standard has really gone to a new level, and you have to be able to compete. So that has to be matched by an operation off the pitch, and that includes facilities. So With the new stadium, you're talking about a lot of things, because you're talking about growing the club and growing that family support and making it a good day out for people in Donegal and the Northwest. And you're also talking about the other facilities we've been working on, securing a training pitch near that site, which will help us out, because you need a lot of training facilities now. We've more teams now than we ever had, and we obviously want to grow in the areas of women's football, where we've certain responsibilities and disadvantaged groups. So we're really talking about a centre of excellence. And when the new stadium project was launched way back then, it was It was to be a centre of excellence for the Northwest and for as a place where not just Van Harps but all of the football family in Donegal would benefit. So it really is central to everything we're doing, Kieran, you know. And so we're hopeful now. We welcome Pierce Doherty's, the last day question the ministry, and we're confident and we're hopeful that something will happen in the new year.
I listened to your interview recently with Oisin Kelly. You spoke to him back in April, about a month into the pandemic, and the uncertainty was the overriding feeling at that stage. The season has started and the season has finished, and thankfully Finn Harps had their best finish in 20 years. Looking back on the season now, Aidan, a lot of lessons learned, I'm sure.
Well, who saw it coming? It was an extraordinary year for everybody, you know, and we know our place as a football club, that there's a lot more important things going on, because people have, obviously, you know, the threat posed by the virus to the whole community was so severe, and then you had all of the economic fallout with local businesses who we'd be in touch with and everybody. So as a football club, you know, because we're a community club, we're in touch with supporters, businesses, voluntary groups, and you very much get a 360-degree view of how it has affected the whole county in the Northwest. And as a club, then, you know, our first, and you know, our first thing as a board of a football club, is to ensure that its survival. So at the start of the year, we're very optimistic because we'd signed some really quality players, and Ollie and Paul had probably brought players in that we hadn't seen at Finn Park, a level player that we hadn't seen in quite a number of years, and the fans were really looking forward to, you know, coming along and supporting the team. So we'd started off very well. You know, we beat Sligo, we got a draw up in Derry after a very good performance on live television, and then the pandemic struck, and it really left us in uncharted territory. So we worked with the FEI, and we had all of the COVID protocols to adhere to. We appointed a COVID officer. We had our secretary, who works for the HSE, Cathy Taff. And then when we looked at the situation, obviously it was uncertain again, and we looked at the facilities of Finn Park, and we knew we needed new dressing rooms if we were to adhere to those protocols. So we had a GoFundMe campaign to build new dressing rooms on the Aldi side, the Chestnut Road side of the pitch, and people were very generous and backed the club, and there was a tremendous effort put in there, led by Ivan Harvey, one of our other directors, and the facilities were excellent. So that acted as the new home dressing room, and that meant we could give the current facilities over to the away team. So we got back in there, but there's no supporters, of course. So it was a matter of looking at the various supports that were available, and then focusing on the football in a very strange environment. And we found it a little bit difficult, I think, to get back. And obviously, from our end, we're a part-time team playing against full-time players who train during the day, so it took us a few games to get our rhythm going. But to be fair to the management and the players, they were excellent, you know, and we managed to avoid the playoffs, which has been a big part of our history, Kieran, and it was great work by everybody that we retained our Premier status.
Yeah, Van Harps have become known really as the masters of the great escapes at this stage.
Yeah, it's not good for your heart, though, Kieran, to be honest. It's year after. We've done it right throughout the years, you know, going back, early 90s. And, we tend to come very strong at the end. And we're probably, you know, looking back, a wee bit disappointed in some of our earlier performances once we came back after the break. And we let ourselves with a bit of work to do. But as I say, once they clicked, and you know, we probably had players with more Premier experience than we've had in the past, and I think that really showed on the pitch. And you know, we saw some great games of football, and thank God we were able to offer our supporters the League of Ireland streaming service, and I think that was really important, because as we were saying before we went on there, you know, people were kind of overwhelmed by all of the COVID news, and it was important, I think, that sport got going again, ourselves and the GAA, to give people something to focus on. So, you know, people had something to chat about, and something to get behind, and yeah, we were very pleased. We were very pleased with the effort the team put in the end.
Obviously, expenditure was staying at the same level, and income was obviously hit extremely hard, given that there were no fans allowed in. That meant that the fundraising and those efforts were never as important as they were for the season past and will be for the season to come.
Well, you know what, Kieran, the support we've had is fantastic, and after we secured victory against Waterford in that absolutely incredible game, we emailed all of our 500 club members just to say a big thank you, because really without their support we couldn't have got the kind of probably the quality in that we needed to compete in what was a really, really competitive division this year. It was a really tough league, and it's incredible to think a team like Cork, you know, actually went down, who were champions in 2017. So, you know, that support that the public gave us is absolutely invaluable, and, you know, the 500 club members, the people who do their lotto, and the sponsors stuck by us. You know, these were business already obviously facing their own massive challenges, but every match sponsored, and a lot of those people have been with us for years. So the Finn Harps is, you know, it's a fan-owned club, it's a cooperative, and five of the clubs, for example, who are above us in the Premier League would have private investors, which obviously means they can, you know, they can spend a lot more money on their team. And so it's a huge achievement for everybody when Finn Harps stays in the league. It's owned by the supporters. It's run by the supporters. The people we have working within the club are there on schemes. So it's just an incredible effort, Kieran, you know, and we just want to thank everybody for all their support. And hopefully now going forward, we can continue to build the club. And the new stadium project really is central to that, and improving facilities, because we want to grow the club and we want to really establish it as a permanent fixture in the Premier Division. You know, that has got to be the ambition, and grow it from there. And, you know, we've had tremendous support for also from, you know, the likes of Donny Kelly at the KN Group. Donny came on as sponsor 3 years ago. He wasn't meant to be sponsor last year, but I was on the phone to him, and he agreed to come on. So we're at the moment, we're actually, you know, we're asking for tenders for the main sponsorship. We've got a very enthusiastic design and digital marketing team who will ensure good coverage for whoever comes on board. So anybody that's interested, you know, please get in contact with us or myself, and we'd be delighted to talk to them.
You mentioned the 500 club, Aidan. How does that work, and how much benefit is that to you season on season?
Well, you can actually join online, and you can join in for 3 months, 6 months. It works out, I think, about 5 a week, Kieran. You can pay in advance. So people can look at the options there on finharps.ie. And, you know, if you want to get in touch with us through that, or you can book it online. You know, that is really, the 500 Club really is designated towards the first team and helping Ollie, you know, secure a budget for each ongoing season. So the 500 Club members are invaluable to us when we're looking at what are our options to go into the transfer market. So people can go on online with that, and you know, I said it's absolutely invaluable to us, you know, and it's something that we want to continue to grow. Historically, Kieran, I suppose, you know, explain to people, it's very difficult for us to compete in the market, because, you know, you're talking about the reasons players would go to a club, and they've, you know, they have a very short career in the League of Ireland. It's not like in England. They have to look after themselves, and if they've jobs, they have to try and you know, to try and combine that with playing against professional footballers. But, you know, our logistics count against us a bit. Our facilities obviously not there at the moment. So the help we can give with people, but with expenses and what have you, is invaluable. So, as I said, the 500 Club, very key to our operations going forward, and we're very, very grateful to all of the members.
And the care draw is nearly upon us as well. How has that gone?
It's been difficult, Kieran, to be honest, because we can't get people out selling, and it's a very important draw for us. So we're hoping to announce news over that in the next couple of days. It's very, very important because we're looking to upgrade those trading facilities. We have facilities for our academy down in Killigordon, which we had a lease on, and the first team used various facilities around the county, which are very good, but we really need something permanent. So, that draw is designated towards that. We're probably not quite hitting the targets at the moment because, you know, we obviously have a set network of ticket sellers like most clubs, and it's difficult for people to get out. So there's a lot of people that have been generous, and but we're just going to have to look at that situation over the next couple of days and see if we need to see, you know, what targets. It's always the late, late show in Donegal, you know, Kieran. All our money tends to come in a couple of days before the draw, and it can be a little bit difficult to assess. So we're going to have to see just over the next couple of days how it's going, how close are we to the targets, and then decide on what day we want the draw to go ahead.
And finally, Aidan, what does 2021 hold for Van Herps?
Well, our number one priority is always survival of the club. Second priority is always, you know, to try and maintain our Premier Division status. And then really the stadium project, getting the green light, so it just gives ourselves and the county of just a big boost, Kieran, and that will be a fantastic year for us, and hopefully a lot of good football as well.
Aidan Campbell, Commercial Manager with Van Herps, thanks for joining us on Business Matters.
Thank you, Kieran.
That's it for another edition of Business Matters. I'd like to thank my guests, Paul Herty and Aidan Campbell. Thanks to Kenneth Wilson on sound, and thanks to you for listening. If you'd like to get in touch with the programme, drop an email to businessmatters@highlandradio.com.